Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 777. The tune is St. Godric 556. Once more the constant sun, revolving round his sphere, his steady course has run and brings another year. He rises, sets, but goes not back, nor ever quits his destined track. Hymn 777. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God in the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 12. The 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out, and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word. Grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, look down from heaven thy holy dwelling place upon us, and help us now to approach thy great majesty, and to call upon thy great and thy holy name. One declares, O Lord, that we are unholy, needs no proof. We sorely feel the fall. And Lord, it is so. We feel our fallen condition, our sinful condition. We are indeed of the earth earthy. We're unclean, O Lord, and unrighteous altogether. And as one, O Lord, confesses, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. Dear Lord, we do pray to be delivered from the works of the flesh, from the power of the flesh, and that we may be made truly spiritually minded, that our heart and our mind and our affections may be set on things above and not on things of the earth. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst draw us even this evening hour, as we gather round the word of God, draw us unto thyself. Draw us near thy glorious person in thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As we come together, Lord, we would echo with the dear apostle, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And Lord, that is what we need, the power, the light, the life that there is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we may touch the hem of his garment, that we may draw from that sacred fullness that is in thee. Oh, we do pray for grace to press on and to press forward. Oh Lord, is it not declared in thy word, this one thing I do, leaving those things that are behind, I press toward the mark, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we pray that each one of us here in the sanctuary tonight may indeed be found pressing into the kingdom of heaven. pressing toward the mark, to the prize of the high calling, that each one of us may be found, as we read in the Word of God, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We do pray, most gracious Lord, that we might know the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that we may be rooted and grounded in love and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge in its length and breadth and depth and height. For Lord, that is something that is beyond our comprehension, the tremendous depth of divine love, of divine grace in thy person, Lord Jesus. We do pray that we may be led, as the dear apostle was, to thank the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Lord, we pray that as we gather round the Word of God, we may indeed feel the divine, the heavenly unction and power of the Holy Ghost, taking the Word of God, sealing it into our hearts, guiding us into thy truth. We read in the Word of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Lord, may this evening hour, the first service here in another year of time, may it please thee, Lord, that it may be a sealing time, when the Spirit of God will take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us, that we might know that reviving. We're solemnly aware, O Lord, that we are not worthy. We are unrighteous, ungodly by nature, and many ill manners. We look back in the past year, many ill manners, many heart wanderings, running after those things, O Lord, that cannot profit us. And we do desire a spirit of confession before thee, O God, of our wanderings, of our backslidings. And we do pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst be with us in this coming year, and go before us in each untrodden step, and make the crooked things straight and the rough places plain. And while our days on earth are lengthened, may we give them, Lord, to thee. May we be enabled to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto thee, which is our reasonable service. And that we be not conformed to this world, but may we be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know what that good and perfect and acceptable will of the Lord is. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy infinite mercy wouldst grant that this evening hour, not only may we feel the divine leading and power of the Holy Ghost, but that we may feel the divine drawings of a heavenly Father, drawing us unto his best beloved and his all-glorious Son. For none come except the Father draw, and God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. O Lord, may that be our blessed portion this evening hour, to feel the Spirit of thy Son in our hearts, to feel the Spirit of adoption in our souls, that we may be enabled to say and feelingly and enter into those blessed words of our precious Redeemer, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. Great God, we do pray that we may be favoured to enter a little into those sacred and wonderful glories of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray to be made more spiritually minded, and that our heart and our affections may be set upon things above and not on things of the earth. We seek thy blessing upon our brethren, the deacons. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst gird them with all sufficient grace. Thou knowest the responsibilities that falls on each one of them. And we pray that thou wouldst supply all their needs according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst be gracious unto us, each one of our brethren and sisters in Christ, those present with us, those unable to gather for whatever that reason may be. We gather them all together and we lovingly commend them to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst make us, O Lord, a loving and a kind church, and that we may bring forth the fruits of righteousness to the honour and glory of thy great name, that we may love each other, serve each other, and bear each other's burdens, thereby fulfilling the law of Christ. We pray for grace to live as we ought to live, to do good unto all men, especially unto the household of faith. Help us, O Lord, that our hearts and our lives may be regulated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so may we walk in him. For Lord, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Oh, do grant us that grace. Dear Lord, we do beseech thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that we may be favoured to feel and to know, for the Father himself loveth you. We seek, dear Lord, on those that desire to follow thee and desire to serve thee in their day and in their generation. And we pray that thou wouldst constrain them by thy grace, by thy spirit, by thy love, to follow thee in the way of the sacred ordinances of the gospel, and to serve thee in their day and in their generation. A seed that shall be raised up to call thee the Redeemer blessed, and to do those things, Lord Jesus, in remembrance of thee. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant that liberty and that light and that life to follow thee. We pray, dear Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst bless the little ones and the children that are brought into the sanctuary, and that meet with us on the Lord's Day. May thy rich blessing rest upon them in their young and in their tender years. We pray for the dear young friends as they stand upon the threshold of life's journey. Preserve them, keep them, deliver them from all evil, from the temptations of the wicked one, from the power and dominion of sin. Hear us, Lord. We do pray thee, bring them to living, vital, saving faith in Jesus Christ. Make them true followers of thee and of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Supply all their many needs in providence, in their education, in employment, a partner in life's journey. Lord, we do lovingly commend them to thee. We seek, dear Lord, that thou wouldst cause the prodigals to return, and that we may be favoured as a church and congregation to see, to have this wonderful blessing of returning prodigals to come in sacred repentance and faith, to return to the sanctuary, to follow the Lord, to do that which is right in thy sight. O Lord, do hear us in heaven, thy holy and thy blessed dwelling place, and grant that we may see this wonderful grace among us. O Lord, there may be those that naturally speaking, are as far from God as sheep can run, and yet they are not beyond thy special grace and power. We seek, most gracious Lord, thy blessing upon each one of us in the midst of the journey of life. We pray to be delivered from sin and from its power. And though sin lives in us, may we not live in sin, but may we live to him that died. May we be surrendered to the crucified one. May we be humbled under thy mighty hand. May the Lord Jesus be made precious unto our souls. May we be delivered from the temptations of Satan, whether he comes as a roaring lion to devour, or whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive us. We pray to be delivered. We pray for the power of thy grace, and that we may love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. And we may let all fruitless searches go which perplex and tease us, but desiring naught to know but a bleeding Jesus. Remember those in the evening time of life's journey, and that we pray that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround them and support them and sustain them in life's journey. Help them to look to thee, help them to cleave to thee, for thy great name's sake, and grant that their last days may be their best days. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon this village and the surrounding villages and hamlets, that the word of the Lord distributed may be richly blessed of thee, to the good of their immortal souls, to the ingathering of precious souls to gather with us. Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Grant that we may see the pulling down of Satan's strongholds, the setting up of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus in the hearts of sinners. Thy gospel, O Lord, made powerful and effectual. Hear us, we do beseech thee, and send now prosperity. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Grant that this may be a year of jubilee, a year when the prisoners are set free, when the captives are delivered. Great God, grant such a year in thy Zion. Remember that the causes of truth up and down the land. Remember thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine. Grant that they may be girded with all sufficient grace. Remember, O Lord, the congregations that meet without a pastor. We pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest. We think also of one who this week commences the pastorate of Brighton. Pray that thou wouldst help him. We think of our friend expecting to have a time of probation at Bodle Street, and we pray that thou wouldst help him. Lord, remember thy Zion. Return to Jerusalem with mercies. Send out thy light and thy truth for thy great name's sake. Remember, O Lord, thy people in those nations of the earth where the name of Christ is hated and thy people are persecuted and imprisoned and suffer death for the name and the witness of Jesus Christ. Send them help from the sanctuary. Strengthen them out of Zion. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. We pray, dear Lord, look upon our government, those in authority over us, and grant, O Lord, that thou wouldst bring order into our nation. Give wisdom and understanding to those that lead us. For thou, O Lord, sits on no precarious throne. Thou art God over all and blessed for evermore. And we pray that if it could be thy heavenly mind and will, and we solemnly realise, O Lord, we're not deserving of thy mercy. As a nation, we have rejected thee and thy word and thy way and thy truth. And yet thy word says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And we pray that thou, glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which grant that we as a nation may be delivered from the European Union, that we might once again stand as a sovereign, independent nation, and that thou wouldst preserve our Protestant heritage and our civil and our religious liberties, and bless our beloved Queen and the royal household for thy great name's sake. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses that have passed before us in the way. We thank thee, Lord, as we view the year already past, for answered prayer, thy loving kindness, thy great goodness that has passed before us in the way. Thy mercies, O Lord, are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. And, O Lord, we thank thee for the wonderful glory, loveliness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the wonderful glory of his person, the eternal word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We bless thee for that mystery of godliness. We thank thee for the holy life he lived, for the holy law he fulfilled, for the bringing in of everlasting righteousness. We thank thee for the holy sacrifice of Calvary, where sin has been put away, where divine justice has been satisfied, where God and sinners are reconciled. We bless thee that he died for our sins and rose again for our justification, has now ascended into glory, and we have a great high priest sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. Great God, do hear us in heaven, thy holy dwelling place. Do be with us now as we turn to thy holy word. Do come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 30. The tune is Evan 136. I'll read the first two verses. We'll commence singing at verse 3. The soul that with sincere desires seeks after Jesus' love, that soul the Holy Ghost inspires with breathings from above. Not everyone in like degree the Spirit of God receives. The Christian often cannot see his faith and yet believes. Hymn number 30, commence singing at the third verse. greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we will read verses 6 and 7 for our text. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Solomon, it is believed, and I believe rightly so, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes when he was an old man, after he was brought to repentance. As you know, Solomon was the most godly, most gracious king in Israel. He was blessed with great wisdom and great understanding in the word of God. It is Solomon, under the divine influence of the Spirit, that wrote the majority of the Proverbs. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he wrote that most sacred book, Solomon's Song. And often, many of the old Puritans used to speak of Solomon's Song as being the holy of holies of the Scriptures. And Solomon spoke from the depths of his own spiritual experience of the love of God unto him. And we have that sacred spiritual intercourse that is spoken of in Solomon's Song between a living soul and a living Christ. And isn't that what we so desire? To have that real, true spiritual intercourse between our soul and Christ. To be able to say, my beloved is mine and I am his. Now, some, looking at these things naturally, they would say Solomon was cynical. And you might say, why would they say that? Well, he commences this song, this book of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And we notice here in this 12th chapter, he concludes it with the same expression in verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. What does the word vanity mean? It means something that is vacuous or empty. There is no substance in it. Probably one of the best ways to describe the word vanity would be, it's like a shadow. You know, when you see a shadow from a distance, it looks as though there's something there. But when you get there, there's nothing there. It's merely the shadow. There's no substance. It's like the clouds of heaven. Those clouds, sometimes they come right down the earth. And what is it? It's fog. A mist, a fog descends. It's the clouds coming right down on the earth. But there's no substance. You see, and that is what the word vanity means. And Solomon, with all his experience, and great experience, he speaks here in the Ecclesiastes that he had great experience. And he did in many things. And he had great wealth. According to the word of God, he's the richest king that ever lived. And that ever will live. Israel was so rich in the days of Solomon that silver was accounted as a thing of nothing. The only thing that was accounted as something worth, of value, was gold. Because there was such an abundance of gold. That there was such an abundance of wealth. But when Solomon stop to consider. He said, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. There's no substance. And he says in chapter 1, reflecting on his past life, in verse 12, he said, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail was given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, and saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to understand madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. In other words, Solomon found that there's nothing here under the sun that can bring satisfaction to the soul of man. And he had great experience. He had great wealth, he had abundance, he could do whatever he wanted. And he did do whatever he wanted. Sometimes in a sinful way. But what did he find? Vanity. Vexation of spirit. You know, my beloved friends, when the Spirit really truly works in our hearts, that's what he will give us to feel and to know. You see, in our poor, covetous minds, we think, if only I had this, if only I had that, if only I had something else. My dear beloved friends, none of it, nothing earthly, no earthly possessions can bring satisfaction to your soul. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. And that is what it will bring to your soul. Solomon goes on in chapter 2. He said, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and manservants. He had everything. I also had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered silver and gold, the peculiar treasures of kings and provinces. You see, he says in verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever my heart desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour. And this was my portion. Then I looked on the work, all the works that my hands had wrought, on the labour that I had laboured to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So, as he comes to the conclusion of this book of Ecclesiastes, and remember the context and how it came about, Solomon, who his heart was turned aside by strange women. It says in Nehemiah, even Solomon. It seems such an emphasis there. That king that was so wise, that king that had so much grace, that king that had so much wisdom, even Solomon did strange women cause to sin. There's an emphasis there. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And that's the conclusion we must come to. Now, he says here in this 12th chapter, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days, that means the days of affliction and the days of sorrow and the days of disease and sadness. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. And that when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. When we're young, when we have what we might say naturally speaking life before us, and when we're young and we desire suitable employment, we desire to learn and we desire to apply ourselves and we desire to prosper and we're ambitious and we desire this and we desire that. That is natural with a young person. You desire a wife, you desire all these things. You set your heart upon them. But he says, don't forget this one thing. Remember now, in your young and in your tender years, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. You see, the exhortation here is this, and I know from my own experience, there wasn't a time that I can think of that I mean this in a natural sense of the word, I didn't believe in God. I was brought up in a godly house, brought up to go to chapel, instructed in the scriptures of truth. But you know, when I was a young man, I decided that I wanted to go and have my fill of the world. And this is the deceit and the wickedness of the heart. Our heart, your heart, my heart. I thought, when I've had my fill of the world, when I've walked in all manner of sin, then I'll turn to God. Then I'll repent. You see, but the exhortation here from God's holy word is that that's a wrong thing to do. He says, remember now in your young and in your tender days. And what it means is to give your best days, the days when you're full of life and liveliness and strength and learning, to give those days to the Lord. See, our poor, wicked, sinful, corrupt minds, we would say, well, no, later on, I want to give these days, my young days, I want to give them to the ways of sin and the world and to have my pleasures, etc. That's what I want to do. Now, the word of God instructs us opposite. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, that is when you get old, I have no pleasure. When you become afflicted, I have no pleasure in them. Well, the Son. And now we have a description here in this chapter, and our two verses of our text are the conclusion of this description of old age. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars, they're all the things that give light on the earth. The sun, the light, or the moon, or the stars, be not darkened. In other words, old people often, their sight begins to fail. And so those lights become darkened. Nor the clouds return after the rain. What does it mean by the clouds returning after the rain? You see the rainstorm coming, and down comes the rain. But then you see immediately afterwards there's more rain clouds coming behind them. So what do these clouds mean, and what does it represent as it speaks in this way in the Word of God? It means trouble. And trial and affliction. That's what clouds mean. Tribulation. Perplexity. darkness, bondage. Nor the clouds return. You see, as we get older, Bunyan spoke of it in a spiritual way, and he said the Christian man is seldom long at ease before some other trouble doth him seize. That is what is meant by the clouds returning after the rain. After the storm. And then it comes again. And so we find as we go through life's journey that we're often not long out of one trouble before another trouble comes. And that is what is meant by the clouds returning. They return after the rain. You get out of one thing and then you walk into another. Perhaps you get out of one providential trial and then you walk into another. And perhaps you think, oh, now everything's going to be nice and we have plenty and we do not have need and we're just going to carry on in this comfortable way. But then something else comes. An affliction, a trouble, a trial, a perplexing circumstance, a trial in the family, in the church, and the cloud returns after the rain. And that's really the meaning of that word, trouble after trouble after trouble, affliction after affliction after affliction. And one of the things that the Lord teaches us in this is that this is not your rest. This earth, this life, to the Christian believer, this is not your rest. It is polluted. And as it was with Jacob, and we read in the book of Deuteronomy concerning Jacob, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, so will I stir thee up, O Israel. You know the illustration there, an eagle. She's been given that instinct and that wisdom that's given her of God, that when she builds a nest, she builds thorns into the bottom of it, long thorns. And then she covers those thorns with moss and leaves and makes a beautiful bed, lays her eggs, hatches her young. But when, the eagle always has her nest up on a craggy rock, very high. And the young eagles, they do not want to fly the nest. They're so high, they're frightened to go out of the nest into the sky. They've never flown before. So what she does, she stirs up with her claws the nest and exposes the long thorns, and those little birds, they cannot rest. They cannot rest. As soon as they try to rest, they get a thorn, a sharp thorn. That's what the Lord does with his children. This is not your rest. This earth is not your rest. It's polluted. And he will put a thorn. The Apostle Paul, he knew it, didn't he? And he had wonderful visions given to him. He was taken into the third heaven. That is, into heaven itself. And he says, I saw things that it is not lawful. And what he means by that expression, I saw things that it's not possible to express of the wonderful glory of heaven, of Christ. And lest I should be exalted above measure, he said, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So he couldn't rest. He couldn't relax. There was that constant, continual thorn in the flesh. And he said, I asked the Lord three times to remove that thorn in the flesh. We do not read that the Lord ever removed that thorn in the flesh. But what the Lord did was he gave him a promise. A promise, a wonderful promise. My grace, that wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength, that's God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. And what he was saying to Paul was, is this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan that constantly buffets you and pricks you, is there for a purpose. It's to humble you. It's to keep you in dependence upon me. You see, the clouds return after the rain. My lot throughout most of our, not perhaps the early part, but most of our married life has been a path of need. Sometimes great need. And you get out of one thing and you think, oh, everything's going quite nicely. And then you're back into something else. And then you get over that and you're back into something else. And sometimes our flesh, it gets so peevish and so fretful because of these things that keep coming. And you never seem to have any rest and you never seem to be able to settle down. The Lord does it on purpose. And eventually he'll bring you to see that his wisdom is perfect. And the things that you've been kept from and delivered from because you've been had to walk a path of need and of dependence upon God. It was so necessary that it should be that way. That you should have to live a path of dependence upon God. And then he goes on here, as I say, speaking of old age, and gradually our faculties beginning to fail. It says in verse 3, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. He means the hands and the arms, the keepers of the house. Shall tremble. Means a weakness. Trembling through weakness. Whereas at one time they'd been very strong. But now they're weaker. And they tremble through weakness. And the strong men shall bow themselves. You look at an old man. And often they're bowed down. The strong men. The men that once walked strong and erect. They're now bowed down. And the grinders, that's the teeth, the grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows, that's the eyes, be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, that's the dawn chorus, not able to sleep. You hear the dawn chorus and it wakes you up. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And then it speaks here of deafness. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. When they shall be afraid of that which is high. Even in a natural way. You look at it naturally. You don't see an old man up a ladder. Up in a tree or up at a window high up. Why? Because he's old. And he's shaky. And it wouldn't be a wise thing to do. And he would be afraid to do that because he might fall. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high. But then you look at it in a spiritual sense of the word. And he shall be afraid of that which is high. The great things of death and of eternal judgment. As it is appointed unto man once to die, so after death the judgment. Things that are high. And the great day of eternal judgment. When the great king of all the earth, as it says here in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That means this is the complete man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It says in Scripture that the thoughts of every heart should be made manifest. It says in Scripture that our life will be laid out like a scroll, unrolled. We used to have scrolls that they wrote on, and they will be unrolled, and it will be seen. It will be seen. Our life. We must all give account to him that sits upon the throne. The Lord Jesus, we must all give an account at that day appointed by Almighty God. And it's something, my beloved friends, that we cannot change. I was looking earlier today in the 8th chapter, and in verse 8 in the 8th chapter, there is no man that hath power over the spirit. That is, of course, our soul. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. It most certainly will come. Death will come. And you cannot alter it. You cannot alter it. It's going to come. And here in this book of Ecclesiastes, and he says in the 3rd chapter, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. You see, a time to be born. That there is a set time for man upon the earth. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. And that is divinely ordained. And there is no discharge in that war. It's a certain thing. In fact, you know, friends, if you really analyse it, that is the only certain thing in life. As sure as we are born, we are absolutely sure we shall also die. And the evidence is all around us. It cannot be denied. Why is it that we've got to die? Because we've sinned. We sinned against Almighty God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And what do we read in the Word of God? The wages of sin is death. It's death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. The almond tree has white blossom, and so with an old person, white hair. They go together, don't they? And the almond tree shall blossom, shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. You know, with old people, perhaps just the little twittering of a grasshopper can get on their nerves, so much so that they can't bear it. And the grasshopper becomes a burden. What it means is the smallest little thing becomes a burden, becomes a trouble, becomes a trial. Something that at one time you wouldn't have even thought of. But as we get older, the grasshopper shall be a burden. And desire, that is ambition and desire. In whatever way that might be, that begins to die as we get old. And desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home. That's his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. And then we have our text. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. The silver cord is the spinal cord. It comes from the brain right the way down through the back, through the spinal cord. And it's silver in colour. And if your neck is broken, it's like Eli when he was sitting on the seat, and they came and they told him that how that his sons had been lost in battle, and then they said, and the ark of the Lord has been taken, and he fell backwards and broke his neck and he died. And that's the meaning of this word, or ever the silver cord be loosed. We break our neck. That is broken and we die. So, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl. What is the golden bowl? It's the skull. And the skull protects and covers our brain, which is an essential organ of our body. And so what it's saying here, when that is broken, then we die. Then we die. The golden bowl be broken. Or the pitcher. Now this is the heart. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. You know, I've often thought of this. Or the wheel broken at the cistern. It's speaking of the heart. And the wheel broken at the cistern It's the circulation of the blood, constantly, like a wheel going round the body continually. Now, Solomon understood this. And I've often thought of it, and I've read a little bit on medical history. And of course, it's local to here. William Harvey Hospital. William Harvey was a great physician back in the 1600s. And it is said he discovered the circulation of the blood and what the heart does. He discovered it. And yet here we are with Solomon, thousands of years before. He understood it. He knew it. And that's what he's speaking of here. Or the pitcher be broken. When you have a heart attack and your heart stops, it's broken. The pitcher be broken at the fountain. Or the wheel, that is the circulation of the blood around the body. The wheel broken at the system. Then there's death. So you really have these two vital organs of our bodies, the heart and the brain, and anything that seriously affects them, death follows. And what we have it sit before us here, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then, something that is most certain, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. You remember in the book of Genesis, in the creation of man, and it speaks of how that God took of the earth and he formed the physical body of man, of Adam. God formed that beautiful body out of the earth. And then we read this, and God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Without our soul, we're dead. It's an integral and essential part of our human nature. We read in the Epistle of James that the body without the spirit is dead. So that when our soul removes from our body, then the body is dead. It cannot live without the soul. What animates our body is our soul. The seat of our reason is in our soul. Hence it's often called the reasonable soul of man. Because the soul is the seat of our reason. That's how we are made in the image of God. That's why we have an intellect and an understanding. It's the seat of our reason. And when that soul departs from the body, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. You see, the Lord, he said in that solemn curse upon man, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Thou shalt return. When we die, our body dies. It's laid in the grave. And it returns to dust. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit, that is the soul, shall return unto God who gave it. There's one very fundamental thing here, friends. You will never find in Scripture what is called the doctrine of annihilation. Our body will return to dust and rot away and return to the earth. Our soul will remain. It will return to God who gave it. And you never read of spirits, whether they be men or angels, you never read of spirits being destroyed. Instead, we read of a place of eternal punishment and a place of eternal glory. And those who are born again of the Holy Ghost and their souls are quickened and they're brought to see their lost condition and they're brought to flee unto Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners, and the Holy Ghost reveals Christ unto them as the way, the truth and the life, and they say, give me Christ or else I die, and they long to lay hold of Christ. They're quickened souls. They've had part in the first resurrection. Upon such, the second death hath no power. That first resurrection is what the Lord Jesus speaks of in John 3. Ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. How vital, my beloved friends, it is that we must be born again. If we're never born again, we shall hear that solemn sentence from the great King, sitting on the throne of judgment, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." It's an eternity of torment. It's an eternity of damnation. An eternity. It will never end. But to those who have been brought to living faith in Jesus Christ, and they've been brought to love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth, they have before them an eternity of everlasting love and glory and happiness with Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 1063. The tune is Gounod 699. Nothing know we of the season, when the world shall pass away, but we know the saints have reason to expect a glorious day, when the Saviour will return and his people cease to mourn. Hymn 1063. Thank you. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.